Please turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 36 through 42. And if you, the congregation, would read verse 43 of Luke chapter 7. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Now if you would read verse 43. Simon answered, "Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your forgiveness. We thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy and grace. We thank you for these blessings from you. Lord, even if we are living through hard times and have seems like our plate is so full, help us, Lord, as your children, as your people, to be grateful for your forgiveness. And Lord, help us to live in this joyfully, looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And again, it's in Jesus' name that this New Testament blood-bought church worships and adores and worships and prays you in the name of Jesus. Amen. A sinful person forgiven. Forgiveness. Isn't forgiveness a wonderful word? Isn't it wonderful that you and I, who have placed our faith, our hope, our trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we have been forgiven? Isn't that a hallelujah? Forgiveness. And even as Christ has forgiven us, we also ought to forgive one another. Isn't forgiveness a wonderful word in our vocabulary? Forgiveness. And we're looking at this story, true account, of three people in a house. There was other people there, but we know of three in a house. And it's, if you think about it, this morning we're in a house. Many people call this the house of God. Now we know and understand in light of the New Testament that you and I, we are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit indwells us as born again believers. We're the temple now. And yet when God's people come together to give Him praise and worship, we call this sanctuary, this auditorium, we call it the house of God. And this morning, when I first walked in here, it felt kind of chilly in here and cold. And then I said to myself, I said, you know what, when we come together in here this morning, we start singing and praising, we're going to have a house warming. Some may not know what I'm talking about, but when people would get married, when I was growing up in the little community that I grew up, we'd give them a shivery and a housewarming where you come together and fellowship in their home, and it warmed the house up for people to come in there and the fellowship. And we had a housewarming this morning here, haven't we? So this is called the house of God, where people come and worship and to meet God. Here in this story, there's a house. It's the Pharisees' home. And we see that one of these people in this home, of course, is Simon the Pharisee himself, who owned this house, and he had invited Jesus to come to his home. So here we are, and we have a description here of this man in his house. We know by the description here in this scripture, the description of him, that he was a prideful, arrogant man. Because in that time of history, during this time that the New Testament was being written and during the time of Jesus, when you invited someone to your home, you just treated them as royalty. You would wash their feet. You would offer them something to drink. You would, just treat them very hospitable. And yet, the description of Simon, he did none of those things for Jesus. Now, we know that he was a Pharisee. He was a very legalistic man. And for you and I to become legalistic religiously is you put God in your own little box, and that if you don't act and do exactly how I act and do, then you're wrong, and you must not be as close to God as I am because you're not as rigid as I am, or that's becoming legalistic. If you don't wear the same clothes that I wear, if you don't look the way I look, if you don't say and do exactly how I do, then you're wrong. And that's legalistic. Now, when the Pharisees first began, it was a good thing. When they began, it was to call the nation back to conservatism and to follow the one true and living God. When they started, it was a good thing. But during the time of Jesus, all they were legalistic hypocrites, and that's not my words. Jesus called them that. They were whitewashed tombs, and they would teach people and tell people how to say and do things, and then they themselves in their heart was far from God. And Jesus called them hypocrites. And so this is a description of Simon the Pharisee. To be legalistic is, I can see the little speck in your eye, but I have to look around the big log that is sticking in my own eye. Okay? That's a hypocrite. That's becoming legalistic. So this was Simon the Pharisee. It was his home, and he did not appreciate Jesus. Why do we know that? Because if you would look now in verse 44, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." So Jesus said to Simon, "This woman is doing all of this. And Simon, you didn't do none of this for me, and I'm a guest in your home." By the way, the visitors with us this morning, who are they? They're our guests. Have you welcomed them here? Have you shook their hand, told them that you're happy to see them here this morning? They're our guests. Jesus was a guest in this home. And Simon did not appreciate Jesus. Now, that's Simon, the next person that we need to look at this morning that is in this home, in this house, is Jesus himself. Now, Jesus was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, which we will be celebrating real soon, Christmas time, Emmanuel means God with us. It says in Colossians in the New Testament that he is the very image of the invisible God. That's why we dare not worship or look to an idol. The only thing that should express God to us is Jesus, the image of the invisible God. Okay? So God in the flesh was there in the home. And how would you react this morning if you knew that Jesus was coming to your home this afternoon? How would you do? What would you do? If I said, and you knew for certain that God in the flesh was coming to your house this afternoon, and I told you for certain that's going to happen, what would you do? I would dare say I wouldn't have no one to preach to. You would jump up. You would go to your house. You'd clean. You'd throw things around. You'd hide things. And you would be excited to know that Jesus was coming to your house, wouldn't you? I would. And here Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God tabernacled in the flesh, God was in Simon's home. Jesus, the very essence of love and mercy and grace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star, the Messiah that the Old Testament and all the sacrifices in the temple pointed to the Messiah, to the Anointed One, God with us, the Redeemer, the one who was going to the cross for the ultimate sacrifice for sin. That is who was in the home. The one who can forgive sin. That's who was there. The next person we see is the sinful person. She's called the sinful woman, the sinner. And in that day, if you was walking down the street with your son and you would see one of these women on the side of the street, by the way, their head would be shaved. They would have very short hair. And you would say to your son, see that woman? Stay away from her. She is a sinner. And we as adults know what kind of woman she was. Because you could tell with that short hair, shaved head, that she was a prostitute, a sinner. Son, stay away from that one. Okay? And that's who was here. Now, she was in the home, very humbled. Why? Because she had experienced forgiveness, apparently in the past. Who was she? I don't know. May have been the woman that they was fixing a stone to death. And Jesus said, those without sin cast the first stone. It could have been her. It could have been the woman full of demons, and Jesus told the demons to leave. But she had experienced Christ, because no longer did she have a shaved head, but she was wiping his feet and cleaning his feet with her tears and wiping them dry with the hair of her head. No longer was she in that lifestyle. Why? Because Christ changed her life. Forgiveness changed her life. And if you have been forgiven by Jesus Christ, you know what it does? It changes you. It changes you. And her life had been changed. And she was so grateful and so humbled. Not prideful like Simon, who was so legalistic and had his own set of religion and do's and don'ts and wanted others to do the same thing. But she was a humbled person because she had experienced forgiveness. That's the other person. Because of the grace, she washed his feet with tears, wiped them dry with her hair, kissed his feet, the feet that was going to be nailed to a cross. She kissed those feet. Anointed his head, not just with some oil, but an expensive oil. She gave her best. Why did she give her best? Because she knew what forgiveness was. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, in closing, there are some things that we need to take home with us. Number one, worship and fellowship are indicators of a relationship. When you worship, and it's, this is part of it, this is public worship where we get to worship with other believers. But worship is a daily thing for someone who has experienced forgiveness. We live out worship. It's a daily thing, and this is icing on the cake when we come here. And fellowship, fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with God's people. And that indicates a relationship with Christ. You know, when you see a husband and wife, they're together. You can see love for one another. They help one another. They like being around one another most of the time. Sometimes. Don't elbow them too hard, Miss Ann. But when you see people that love one another, you know Ruth, when she went with Naomi, she loved Naomi. She grabbed Naomi and loved her so much and said, "Your God is going to be my God." That's love. That's love. So, that kind of love, you'll want to worship, you'll want to fellowship, and we love Him because He first loved us. And we're grateful because we have experienced what? Forgiveness. Secondly, Jesus notices neglect and appreciates affection. He notices neglect and appreciates affection. And how about you? Don't you notice when you've been neglected? Yes, we notice it right away, don't we? If you've been neglected or you're not appreciated, you know it. You know it. Don't you think Jesus knows too? Do you appreciate His forgiveness? Here, the very one who was going to the cross for the forgiveness of sins, to shed His blood, left glory, became flesh for us. That's love. That's ultimate love. And He wants us to love Him. And it's a free will love. He didn't make us to... He has not made any one of you to love Him. Or we would be robots. But we choose to follow Him and we follow Him. Does He know who's going to do it? Yes, He's sovereign God. I'm not. But He wants us to love Him. He created you and I for fellowship and love. And He notices neglect and appreciates when we're affectionate towards Him. Thirdly, no sin is too great for Jesus to forgive. No sin is too great for Jesus to forgive. He would forgive Simon of his pride and arrogance and his legalism. And He will forgive that sinful person. Both is sin, by the way. Verse 47, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, everyone say many. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. If you come and think God owes you anything because of what you have done, then you love little. We owe God everything. Because we all have a debt that we cannot pay. But Jesus paid it for us if you'll receive it. He will do it. And it's called forgiveness. Forgiveness. What a wonderful word. Forgiveness. Will you receive the forgiveness that Christ will give you this morning? Will you? And child of God, don't neglect them. Appreciate them. Amen. Let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, we do thank You for that debt, that sin debt of death that You've paid for us. Thank You for eternal life. Thank You for fellowship with a holy God through You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your love. Help us, Lord, not to be a Simon. Help us, Lord, to be a humble person that loves You and appreciates You. Help us to give our best for You because You've given Your all for us. May we tend to eternal things right now, Lord. May Your Holy Spirit touch hearts for Your glory. Amen.